Now, my sofa guest today is Jane McPherson. Jane's just retired as a classical musician. She's an oboist. She's travelled the world and played with many major stars during her career. But now she's become a teacher of Nordic walking and set up the Suffolk School of Nordic Walking.
On the sofa. BBC.
Radio Suffolk. Hello, how are you doing then?
Hi, Leslie. I'm fine, thank you.
You're all right, are you? Okay, so have you been at Nordic walking today?
No, actually, I haven't. No, not today. But no, it's pretty rainy where we are, so not ideal. But no, I've been doing the normal domestic things that we all do today.
All the things. I was going to say, you're a fair weather walker, are you?
Oh, no. I was teaching yesterday in pouring rain.
I think lockdown helped you make this choice to go from one to the other. Is that right?
Yes, I think that's probably true to say. It accelerated things. I was already having thoughts about, you know, what shall I do when I stop playing, when the music stops for me, what shall I go on to? Because my mother was 99 when she died. I've got another 30 years plus of life, perhaps. And certainly not going to be playing the oboe for all that length of time. And so I was already thinking, you know, what can I do now? What's the next stage of life? And I'd been Nordic walking for about 4 years and I really loved it and had the idea that maybe it would be nice to train as a Nordic walking instructor. And then down came lockdown. And although my training was put back a bit because of that, unfortunately had to be delayed a bit, nevertheless, I did manage to complete my training with British Nordic Walking. And that led to setting up the Nordic the Nordic School of Walking here in Codnam. And it's just gone off like a rocket since then, really. It's been really busy. It's been great.
Well, I guess there wasn't no chance for you to go out and play your music. So although you'd been thinking about doing it, this sort of brought it forward and made it happen almost painlessly in a way.
Yes, that's right. I mean, in a sense, it's easy to retire when you don't have a profession there. It was devastated and still is. There's nothing. People can't do concerts. I mean, it's absolutely dire. And so it wasn't as if I was leaving anything at the time. There was nothing there. And my son and his girlfriend had come to live with us for a couple of months and were working from home. So it was quite an easy transition for me. And I just thought, well, you know, it's happened. Why go back? Let's keep going. Let's go on in a new direction and see how it works out.
And how's it going?
Well, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. We've got already three training groups that have just coming to an end this week. We've got two more groups starting next week. We've got some regular walks starting next week of different types. We've got what we call a workout walk for people who want to really go for high energy calorie burn, and then we've got a couple of more leisurely walks for people who perhaps don't want to go at that sort of speed and just want to enjoy having a walk with other people in the countryside, getting a bit of exercise at the same time.
It's interesting. I've got friends in Germany who've been doing Nordic walking for a long time, and it's taken a while for it to get here. I know other people do it in Suffolk at the moment as well, but it has taken a while for us to understand the benefits, hasn't it?
Yes, I think it's not well known, and a lot of people don't really understand what Nordic walking is. I mean, the short answer is it's cross-country skiing, but without any skis and without any snow. The longer answer is that it's an all-body aerobic workout, just using regular walking, but adding a couple of poles so that you're able to engage the muscles in your upper body at the same time as walking. And you can use up to 90% of your skeletal muscles. So it really is a good workout, and it's good for your posture. At the same time, there's a whole host of people who can benefit from Nordic walking, from people who want to have a really good workout and who are already perhaps pretty fit and just want to add another sport to their cross training. But for people at the other end of the spectrum who are maybe recovering from illness or injury, and they want a little bit of perhaps support with the poles while they're walking, it just helps them to also engage those upper body muscles and get a much better workout.
How did you discover it?
Well, we, both my husband and I, signed up to do a taster session on, what was it called? It was Suffolk Walking Festival. That was about four or 5 years ago. Do you remember them? They did all sorts of different walks.
Yeah. I'm patron of the Walking Festival, Suffolk Walking Festival. Well, so there you go. So I should know. Yeah. So, there were various courses, weren't there, as part of that?
Yes. They had all sorts of fabulous walks. We did quite a few of them. And amongst them was a taster session for Nordic walking. And we had a go at that. And we really enjoyed it and thought, well, you know, why not give this a go?
And you have.
And that's how we started. Yeah.
A lot of people are not totally aware of why the poles are there, are they? And you're not just leaning on them. You are actually moving quite specifically, aren't you? So that, as you say, you use your upper part of your body.
Yeah. People, I think, imagine that, well, it's just the same as using hiking poles when you walk. And it isn't. It's completely different to that, because hiking poles you use in front of your body, and really you're using them for support and balance. Nordic walking poles are specially designed to use behind your body. So it's a little bit more like using them as a pair of back legs, an extra pair of back legs. So it gives you the feeling of walking on all fours, if you like. It enables you to use your arms and your upper body to be your back legs. And you're using those poles then way behind your body to push you forward and get this forward momentum. It's a lovely feeling, actually. It takes a little bit of training to learn. There are a few techniques you have to learn. And then it's a very nice flowing feeling of just using your whole body, and it gives you lovely balance. It's fantastic for your posture, because at the same time as you're pushing down on the poles, so you're extending your body upwards, and that's just terrific for your posture, of just lengthening up through your spine.
And I think you've got a ready-made centre, so you're in Coddenham, aren't you? And you've got the Coddenham Centre there, so you sort of, that's your ready-made centre. I know you've been working hard with your husband on making that something for people to use. Yes,
that's right. We're fantastically fortunate in Coddenham, for a very small village, to have this amazing centre, a purpose-built centre. We've got a recreation ground as well, which has a full-size football field there. So we've got plenty of space. And yes, you're right. My husband's been very involved with establishing the Coddenham Centre as a charity last year, at the request of our local parish council last November. And despite COVID and the restrictions that has imposed, the centre's really thrived, and it's doing very well. We've got all sorts of sports and activities on offer there, from Pilates, yoga, tennis, football, all sorts, as well as Nordic walking. And of course, we're open to all, not just to residents of Coddenham. And some of my Nordic walking students are coming from Ipswich, from Woodbridge, and you know, villages around. So it's really open to all, and we've had a series of free tasters, and we'll continue to do so that people can come and have a go at something. And we've got a taster coming up on the 7th of November in the morning at 11:30 for people to come and try Nordic walking. It's absolutely free, poles are provided. Come along, have a go, see if you like it.
Well, make
and it's
up
fun.
I was going to say, we'll make sure everyone gets all the details before we finish chatting as well. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen to the Suffolk Walking Festival next year, but I'm sure they'll have to rope you in there, having converted you in the first place.
It's all their fault.
I shall speak to David, who organises it, and put him in touch. I'm going to come back. So whether you've got your husband there to make you a cup of tea or not, I don't know. But we'll be back with you in a minute or two, Jane, and we'll talk a bit about playing the oboe. I do have an admission about an oboe to make in a minute or two, but I'll do that after our next bit of music. I'll speak to you in a minute.
Okay.
It's 18 minutes to four Wednesday afternoon. Guest with us this afternoon is classical musician turned Nordic walking teacher Jane McPherson. I've been hearing about how through lockdown, I sort of persuaded her, as there was no classical music around to be played, that she was going to take on her Nordic walking, something she'd always planned to do. She's with us this afternoon. So are you on a studio chair or are you sitting on your sofa? That's what I want to know, Jane. Fess up now.
Fess up. Okay, it's a bit of a cross between the two, actually. I'm in my little sort of office, on my office chair with a nice big squishy cushion. So,
it's
nice,
fine.
And comfy.
You and everybody else I chat to in the afternoons as well, I have to say as well. So do you still play at home? I mean, if you've got a music room, do you play your oboe sort of every so often?
No. Now you're asking me to fess up, aren't you? That really is confession time. I have to say, in recent months, I haven't been playing, no. But that's not to say never. So I still have my instruments, of course. And when I'm not busy setting up Nordic walking schools, maybe I'll have a bit more time to play.
Yeah, well, I can understand, because it was work, wasn't it? And it's most of us, when we stop work, don't carry on doing work. I mean, you're a professor of cor anglais, which is also a reed instrument, aren't you?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I seem to, spend my life doing sort of niche things. So for anyone who doesn't know what a cor anglais is, it's like an oboe. It's the same family, but it's a larger instrument. And probably the most famous solo for the cor anglais is the New World Symphony, the famous Largo from the New World Symphony, which you might otherwise have heard as the Hovis spread ad tune.
So I think it's lovely. It's in the same way as you've got various other reed instruments. That is, as you say, it's the bigger one. It has the sort of the better tone. Well, I think it's got a better tone and so on. Do you think?
Oh, it's beautiful. Yes, it's a lovely, almost melancholy, mournful sound, and it is a very particular sound. And I have to say, I've felt very privileged to have spent 40 years nearly playing it professionally.
We'll play a bit of music in a bit so that people can hear you playing it, so they actually know what we're talking about. So okay. And you were, how old were you when you picked up your first oboe, and that was it by the sounds of things? 12, was it?
Yeah, I was 12 and played the recorder at school, and rather reluctantly played the piano. I was not a very keen piano student. But at the age of 12, my school had an oboe, and I had the most wonderful oboe teacher, Sheila Freeman, who used to teach me every week at school. And I just loved it and took to it like a duck to water. And I was very fortunate. I went to an ordinary comprehensive school. I got a county scholarship to go and study in London and to go to music school in Oxford, near where I lived, every Saturday morning, most of which wouldn't exist now. Mm-hmm. People don't have that help now to start and to get into the music profession that in those days was around.
But it was sad. It obviously made a huge difference because it was what you wanted to do when you left school.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed school and I loved lots of things about school, but just playing the oboe was such a major part of my life. And so I went on to music college in London and studied for 3 years there, and then eventually got my first job.
What was your first job?
So that was in the BBC Symphony Orchestra, obviously famous for doing the proms. And that's where I started as the cor anglais player in the BBC Symphony Orchestra. And I love doing the proms. I mean, they have fantastic atmosphere. It's great fun. And as a young player just starting out, I learned a huge amount in my job there. And then after 6 years, I was lucky enough to be offered the principal cor anglais job in the Philharmonia Orchestra. And so I went there and stayed there for 16 years as well. Wow. Which was when I did most of my travelling, really.
As you say, quite niche, so I guess there aren't that many cor anglais players as such.
No, I mean, basically, some oboists will specialise in playing the cor anglais. All cor anglais players are oboists, you see what I mean? But not all oboists would play the cor anglais. So some of us sort of specialise, yeah.
And I know that over your 16 years, as you say, you travelled the world and you were in concerts with the top conductors, with some really famous soloists as well. Just throw some at us. Tell me about some of the best concerts that you remember, because you must have so many memories.
Oh, yes, loads. I've done some wonderful concerts, and I was very lucky to play with soloists like Jessie Norman and James Sutherland, Rennie Fleming, Kirita Kanawa, Rostropovich, the wonderful cellist, Bryn Terfel, another great singer, Gidon Kremer, violinist. Hundreds of wonderful soloists. And when I was in the Philharmonia, it was the time when we did a lot of concerts with the three tenors, and we toured with them doing concerts in Greece and Pavarotti in the Park, all of those sort of concerts. So it was great fun. Yeah, lovely.
And you said, yeah, it's a learning curve, but because you turn up, and I don't suppose you get much time. Do you practice your pieces much? You get a chance to get together, have a practice, and then the concert's on, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, in a symphony orchestra, you do have rehearsals, and when you've got a position in a symphony orchestra, then usually you know what concerts are coming up and you have a chance to prepare. It was later, really, in my career when I left and I went freelance and did a lot of work in the studio. Then you have absolutely no idea what you're going to have when you arrive at the studio. None at all. No preparation whatsoever. It can be very easy. On the other hand, you could have some enormous great solo and no time to prepare at all.
Reeds, I was going to say, reeds are notorious as well, aren't they? To keep them nice and moist and keep them playing well.
Oh yeah, the bane of any oboist's life are reeds. Yes, I mean, I have to say the one thing I really don't miss about not playing professionally is not having to deal with reeds. It's absolutely marvellous.
So tell me about, because you did, because you got children, and obviously the time comes when you can't travel or you don't want to keep traveling the world, and that's how you ended up going freelance and working. But we can listen to Harry music, to Harry Potter's music, to Cats, and you've appeared in lots of things like that, haven't you?
Yes. So really, what happened was after 16 years in the Philharmonia, we moved to Suffolk. And my son was 8 at the time, and we followed my husband's job really here. And I just thought, actually, I can't keep travelling and touring, and it's not fair now. I need to be at home with James, my son, more. And I wanted to have, you know, more family time. So I jumped and I left the Philharmonia, which was a big wrench, because being part of a symphony orchestra is like being part of a big family, and I was leaving all my friends and colleagues behind, and that was a big jump to make. But I was already doing a lot of work, freelance work in the studio, and I enjoyed it, and it was a bit more family friendly, so I decided to go in that direction. And then I was working at Abbey Road Studios, at Air Studios, still in London, but working with people like John Williams on Harry Potter, Hans Zimmer, James Newton Howard, doing Batman, The Dark Knight trilogy. I mean, I played on, oh, I don't know, getting on for 300 different movies.
So I was going to say, we've heard you, probably all of us, haven't we, many a time. I shall listen more.
You will have done. Yes, you might not have known it was me. No, certainly will. Yeah.
Next time. I am going to finish by playing a little bit of music. I can't play the whole thing, but the Gregory Porter, When Love Was King, we'll play so that we can hear you playing. It was that oboe you played that, wasn't it, as well? So we'll come back to you. But I've just got travel news, and I'll come back and just so that you can remind everyone how they can find out more about your courses, if that's okay with you. So Jane McPherson is our guest. She's now a Nordic walking teacher. So I'll make sure you know how to find out more about her courses. First, must just check in again with Lois and find out the very latest.
Hello, Leslie. In Ipswich, traffic's building on Valley Road in both directions due to the roadworks with four-way lights. That's at the junction with Brantford Road and Chevalier Street. It's going to take you around 10 minutes to get through there at the moment. In Saxmundham, it's getting busier on the B1119 Church Hill on the approach to Chantry Road. There's about 10 minutes of queuing traffic there. And in Bury St Edmunds, there's about 5 minutes of slow traffic on Hardwick Lane at the junction with Wilkes Road. A few roadworks to update you on the A140, there are temporary lights and water main works on the street in Long Stratton, that's around the petrol station, and in Carlton Colville, one lane is closed due to roadworks on the A12 at the A1117 Bludmore Road. On the trains, due to maintenance work, the 11:30 London Liverpool Street to Norwich service tonight will be replaced by a bus service between Ipswich and Norwich. If you see anything or can update me, give me a call on 0800 141 2121.
Don't be a tosser and support BBC Radio Suffolk's anti-litter campaign.
My name is Ruth Longhurst. I regularly walk to work for about 2.5 hours a day. I leave my house on Chantry and I litter pick on the way to work.
Don't be a tosser and support BBC Radio Suffolk's anti-litter campaign.
Don't be a tosser. Don't put the rubbish on the ground in the first place. Or if you do drop it, pick it up yourself and put it in the nearest bin.
On the sofa.
BBC Radio Suffolk.
We're on her studio chair. Jane McPherson is with us talking about her new Nordic walking role. She's a teacher. She's got the Suffolk School of Nordic Walking in Coddenham as well. So how do people book you up then, Jane?
Ah, well, that's very easy because we have our Nordic Walking School at the Coddenham Centre. All our details are on the Coddenham Centre's website. So that's www.thecoddenhamcentre.co.uk, which is very easy to find. Or you can go straight to nordic.walking@thecoddenhamcentre.co.uk and you can email me directly there.
That's brilliant. So, well, I hope it goes really well and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
I shall remember as someone who's involved in the Suffolk Walking Festival that we have changed your life. Well, sort of, anyway.
Absolutely.
And my admission about the oboe is I did play oboe at school, but I only ever got to grade 3. And my dog used to sit outside my bedroom door and howl when I tried to do my practice on an evening.
Oh.
I was never very, very good at it, I have to say. But it is a beautiful instrument. And in the same way as I love saxophone as opposed to clarinet, cor anglais is the same as opposed to oboe, I think, as well.
Yeah, yeah. It is the most beautiful sound, I must say. And it has been a joy to spend those years playing.
So are you suffocated now? Do you like Suffolk?
Oh, yeah, I love Suffolk, absolutely. Yes, when I was a student, actually, I was very lucky that I was offered a place at what was then the Snake Maltings Training Orchestra. So I'd have been in my, I suppose, early 20s then. It's now what they call the Britain Peers Orchestra. But I used to come on courses to Snake Maltings most summers for several years and absolutely loved going to Aldborough and Snape. So I've got a bit of history there. And my dad was from Lincolnshire. So East of England has got a bit of a connection for me in any case. So.
It was meant to be. Thank you so much for being my guest this afternoon. I hope the Nordic Walking does really well.
Thank you very much indeed. It's been a pleasure.
Do you want to tell me about Gregory Porter and When Love Was King? We're going to play just a bit of it now.
Oh, I'd love to tell you about Gregory Porter. I have to say that man walked into the room with his wonderful booming voice, and I think every girl's knees went turned to jelly. I mean, actually, a few of the boys as well, I think. But he was the most gorgeous man, absolutely gorgeous, and this beautiful, beautiful voice. So I was very lucky to play on his album, Nat King Cole and Me. And we also did a big festival hall, Albert Hall concert with him a couple of years ago, a live concert with his band, who were equally gorgeous. And so I just had a fabulous time working with him. So this is one of my favourite numbers.
Don't swim too much.
Oh, I know. I've gone weak at the knees just thinking about it.
Thank you for being our guest.
My pleasure.